Daf Ayin Chesamid Beis, about 15 lines up from the bottom of the Daf, Tana Rabbanan. And we're still analyzing the concept of Utvacho with regard to a Ganov who slaughters the stolen animal and he's chayv to pay Dalad Vehe. Hagonev Hakitas. He stole an animal which was missing a limb, let's say one of its legs, and then he shechted it or he sold it. That's hachigeres, or he stole an animal that's lame. V'esasuma, or a blind animal. V'chein hagonev behemas shutfim. If he steals an animal that's owned in partnership by two individuals or more, then he slaughters it, he sells it, chai if he pays, dalad vehe. Now the brisa here that we're studying, and we didn't get to the sefer of the brisa yet, is presenting the case where the ganav is selling less than a complete animal, or slaughtering less than a complete animal. And the chiddush here is that even though the animal is missing a limb, and the Mishnah, the Braisa is written in a style called Zu V'Ein Tzarich Lomer Zu, meaning even this case, and it goes without saying in this case. In other words, if it's missing a limb, and yet it's considered a Behema Shlema as far as the Chiv Mechira is concerned, how much more so in the case where it has the limbs, just they're not functioning properly, like in the cases of Chigeres and Suma. Now, in the case of Behemas Shutfim, there it's a whole different Chiddush, and that is that he's not paying a full Dalad Vehei to one individual, and yet the Gemara on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis had already established Chamisha Boker Velo Chamisha Chatzoi Boker. There's no such thing as paying half the punishment, half the penalty. It's either all or nothing. The chiddush here is that the ganav is obligated to pay the full five, the full hay, chamisha bakar, just that the payment will be received and split by the two shutfim. But nevertheless, as far as the chi of ganav is concerned, we have chamisha bakar. In the Sefer of the Braisa, in contrast, Shutofim Sheganvu Pturin. If two people participate in a Gneva, they don't pay Dalad Vehe, even after Shechita Mechira. And the reason for that is because you cannot impose a Chiv of Hay on any single Ganav. The Gemara later on, Lemaskona, is going to come to the conclusion that even in the case of a shutof that steals, since this partnership in the gneva will express itself in the partnership in the payment, then basically there's a merger here of one ganav, two shutfim, but one ganav. It could be that in the implementation of the gneva, as we'll soon see, one of the two shutfim is actually implementing the maisa gneva on behalf of both of them, but as one undivided entity, they are stealing, and they are chayv to pay chamisha bakar. Even though, again, in actuality, each shutav is going to pay his half, but they're paying it as a whole, as one persona, one ganav. The Gemara immediately raises this question. Varsanya, we have a brisa that says, shutvim sheganvu chayovim. How do we reconcile these two brises? Omer Rav Nachman, lo kasha, kan b'shutav sheganav mechavero, kan b'shutav sheganav mealma. Let's move backwards. In the second brisa, where shutvim sheganvu are chayovim, that means they became shutvim in the gneva itself, in the act of gneva, the two ganovim that are really one corporate ownership, a partnership, and therefore they have to pay the entire price of Tvicha Mechira. Each one will have to dig into his pocket and pay half, but the totality is being paid. The case of our first price, where a Shutav, a Shutafim Sheganvu Apturim, that's an entirely different case. That's, you have to add a few words. Shutafim Sheganvu Zemizeh. Meaning, it's not that the Shutfim were partners in the Gneva stealing from so-and-so, but rather they were partners in an animal, and one of the two partners stole the animal from the other one. And here there's going to be a Ptur of Tvicha Mechir, there's no Dalet Vehei. And the reason for that is, apparently, because insofar as this act of Shechita or Mechira is concerned, from the perspective of the Shutuf, who's the Ganav, he actually is slaughtering his own animal. He's actually selling his own animal. So we'll see this clarified in the next few lines in the Gemara. Esve, Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava now jumps on Rav Nachman. He says, Yochel, I have a brice that says, I might think, Shutav Shegonav Mechavero. If one Shutav steals from his friend. Okay, that was a Hava Mina that he might be chayev to pay his other partner, and Lomaskona, this price is going to establish, based on a Pasuk, that he's not chayev. And that's okay, because that's not a problem on Rav Nach. But then the price goes on and says, Vishutafim Sheganvu, in the case of two partners in a Gneva, I might think, you chayovin, they have to pay dalvei, tamad lomar utvacho, kulo b'inun v'leka. This brisa derives from the pasuk utvacho, that there's got to be one act of gneva on the entire object. Here, you cannot pinpoint one act of gneva that relates to one individual, because there is shutfim in the gneva. So it means that if two people steal together an animal from one person, and then there was a tficha, basically each one is shechting half of the animal, that half that he stole. The Gemara, based on this price of Rava, understands that the act of tficha relates to that part of the animal that you're stealing. And since two people stole this animal, each one is participating in a ma'aseh tficha, but vis-a-vis half the animal, namely that half that he stole. But in any event, this is an explicit contradiction to Rav Nachman, who postulated, based on the second brisa, that shutfim shegonvu chayovim, that even though two shutfim participated in a gneva together, they paid dalet ve'hei. We don't split them into two, and the way the Bryce of Rava sees it, and there's only a tficha on half the animal, because once you split them into two, each one is shechting the half that he stole. No. We view them, according to Rav Nachman's Bryce, as one entity. We called it before a corporate whole. And the Gneva and the Chiyuv Dal Vehei is related to both of these shutfim as one entity. Elomer Rav Nachman lo kasha. Rav Nachman now changes a little bit his original formulation and reconciliation of the two brises that contradict each other. Kan b'shutof shetovach l'das chavero, kan b'shutof shetovach shelo l'das chavero. Rav Nachman says that second brise that we quoted earlier, that shutfim shegonvu chayovim, how do we understand that? Says Rav Nachman, that's a corporate entity. How do you create that corporate entity? How do the two shutafim in this geneva work in tandem as one? And the answer is that even though one of the two shutafim actually implemented the tvicha befa'al, but he did it with the approval of his buddy, of his shutaf, and he was working on behalf of his shutav as a shliach. So he's not just shechting his half of the animal in terms of gneva, but he's also shechting his partner's chelek in the animal, and that's through the principle of shlucho shel adam kimoso. Even though you'll ask, well, ein shliach l'dvar avera, but the answer is, with regard to tficha v'ganav, we hold Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avedah. This was a sugya earlier on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. Tachas L'Rabos Es HaSholiach. And therefore it's considered as if both Shutfim themselves personally implemented the Tvicha, and together with one corporate entity, one partnership, indivisible Tvicha, they incur a Chiyuv Dal Vehe. That's as far as the Brisa that says they are Chayav. Kan, the second Brisa, which is the first Brisa in the order, is a case where Shutfim Shegonu Potter because B'Shutuf Shetovach Shelo L'Das Chavero. One of the Shutofim in the Gneva decided, Al Das Atzmo, without conferring and receiving the approval of his partner, that he would implement a Shechita. And there we say the logic that he shechted only that half which is his in this Gneva, and therefore he's Potter. In other words, when the Shliach operates on behalf of the Meshaleach, meaning his other partner, Midaito Baskama, so that's one thing. Then they become one entity vis-a-vis this Maisa Shechita. But if one of the two Shutfah is slaughtering the animal without becoming a Shliach of his friend, he doesn't have the approval of his friend. In such a case, it's not considered that he's being Toveach not only his own Chelek, but also his friend's chelek, but rather he's being toveach only his chelek. And now, with regard to his friend's chelek in the animal, that's considered, it's like a toveach u'mocher acha ganov, the object was stolen. Again, we're looking at Shutuf A vis-a-vis Shutuf B. As far as the chelek of Shutuf B in this Geneva, Shutuf A, who's now selling it, is like selling a stolen object. And we had the mission at the very beginning of Merubah, back on Daf Samach Beis, where the mission established that Gonev Acharganov, or Mocher, excuse me, Toveach Mocher Acharganov, is Potter. In other words, if you stole it and I steal it from you, I'm Potter for Tvicha Mechira. And here also, vis-a-vis the chelik of the other shutof, he, this shutof who's slaughtering the animal, is slaughtering the animal that's already stolen, as far as the other half is concerned. Now the Gemara back on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amid Beis, if you recall, had one opinion that says that Yochayev even for Chamishe Chatzoi Bokar. And if that be the case, then vis-a-vis that Shutuf A, that we call the Shutuf number one, who actually slaughtered the animal, he himself should be chayav at least half of Dalet Vehei. And the case over there on Daf Ayin Aleph from Beis is a case where somebody stole an animal from Shutfim and then he shechted it. Afterwards, he was mode to one of them, and therefore he Moda b'knas potter, he's potter from paying the dalet vehei, but he wasn't moda for the other one. And the sugya there establishes that he will pay half of dalet vehei vis-a-vis that shutaf who to whom there was no hodah. So what's the problem here? The answer is that there, in that case, if you go back to the Maisa Tvicha, the Maisa Tvich itself did engender Dalet Vehei. And the reason for that is because Hodah is going to come later on. The Hodah is going to come as a new factor, a new force to potter him up. But as far as the original Chiyuv is concerned, certainly the Tvicha engendered a Chiyuv of Dalet Vehei. As far as the actual payment is concerned, since he was molded to one of the Shutaf, the Ganav will only pay half of Dalet Vehei. But here, in our sugya, at the moment of the Tvicha, he was only chayev through this Tvicha Chatzi Dalet Vehei. And the reason for that is because, as far as the other half of the animal, it's a Toveach Li'achar Aganov, meaning after a Gneva. And therefore, there was never a chiyuv of hay to begin with, it was only Chatzoi hay, and in such a case he's Potter. Now we start the sugya of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And you know, we're familiar with Rabbi Yirmiyah all of Shas. He always asks questions and stumps the Shas, and these questions end up with Teiku. By Rabbi Yirmiya, a person steals an animal, umechara chutz mishloshim yom. We discussed earlier that if there's a serious shiur in the mechira, and it's not a complete mechira, an incomplete mechira does not generate a chiyuv of dalet vehe. But here's a case where the mechira per se is basically a complete mechira, but he leaves himself 30-day period of time to use the animal for his plowing, for his malacha. Or, here's the second case, he sells it chutz mi malachto. In other words, the lokech is buying it for rights of shechita, and he can go ahead and shecht it. But nevertheless, if he decides, the lokech, to work this animal, then all the work belongs to the seller. And that was the nature of the contractual agreement. So the seller retains for himself all the malacha rights in this animal. So again, let's just go back up on top to Rabbi Yirmiya's two cases that we mentioned so far. He has a third case. The first case is Mechara Chutz Mishloshim Yom. Now, this is not a case of Mechira Liachal Lamed, because if it was a Mechira Liachal Lamed, no question about it, that would generate a Chiyuv Dalvei, because the Mechira only emerges after the 30-day period. And within that, and once you hit that 30-day period, the Kinyan and the Mekach is absolutely complete. The Mechira is a Mechira Gemura. That's why Rashi says over here that the Mechira was done Lialter. It wasn't pushed off. It wasn't Liachar Zman. But what the Mocher's Meshayer for himself was 30 days worth of tashmishim, of use of the animal. And that might be viewed as a shiur, or is it, no, is it something limited and secondary? Basically, he was makne and mocher the animal. The second case is a case where he leaves for himself malachto, and it could very well be that he's basically saying to the lokeach, look, right now the animal is very skinny, very thin, it's a kusha. You fatten it up, and then you shecht it, that's what you're buying for me. But in the meantime, until it gets fat, the animal is still skinny, and you have no vested interest in shechting it at this point. So then I, as the mocher, retain for myself the rights to use the animal during this period of time, until such time as the animal becomes a shmeina, and then you go ahead and shecht it, do your thing. Now we have the third case, and this is the case that's going to occupy the Gemara. Chutz mi ubra. The mocher says to the lokeach, again the mocher is the ganav, and he says to the lokeach, look, this animal is pregnant. I'm selling you the animal itself, the mother, but the vlad is mine. Shall we see that as a shiur? This is the triple suffix of Rabbi Yirmiya. So the Gemara analyzes the last suffix. Aliba de man, he says, according to one particular individual who maintains the Omar Ubar Yerech Imohi, that the Ubar, and this is Sugin Tmura, is a limb of the mother. It's like a leg of the mother's animal, or any one of its organs. Is according to that Mandi Omar, Loti Boilcha, there's no question about it, this is a serious shiur. The Hashir Ba, he was Meshayer in the animal itself, a full aver of the animal. That's not a complete Mechira, and that would not engender Dalet Vehe. That's, so you ask yourself now, so what was the case, what was the scenario that Rabbi Yirmiya was downing? I mean, after all, uber yerech imo, so who cares if it's chutz mi ubra, that's like chutz mi ragla. That's a serious shiur. Kiti boilecha, no. Rabbi Yirmiya is not asking, according to Man Diomer, uber yerech imo, but rather, Leman diomer de ubar lav yerechi. We view the ubar to some extent as a separate, independent identity. And physically, in terms of gufim, there's one animal, the mother animal, and then there's the guf of the ubar as a separate entity. My, here's Rabbi Yirmiya's suffix. Neymar amrinon, should we assume keva de mechuber ba? Shir o dilma kevin dilim mifrash mine koi lo avishir. Now, in analyzing this suffix, we can remind ourselves of some of the svaras that we had in the previous sugya about karnayim and about giza. If you remember, there were all sorts of attachments to the animal, and those attachments are either permanently affixed to the animal and they can be surgically removed, or they're only there on a temporary basis, and in the laws of, shall we say, finance, the Mekach u'Memkar and Choshev Mishpat, we assume that these parts of the animal, as they're produced on the animal, will be cut off. Like, for example, the shearings, the giza. And the difference is going to be whether we view it as part of the animal or not. If it's permanently attached to the animal, that's one thing. So we understand very well the second sad in Rabbi Yirmiyah's Suffolk, Dila Mifresh Mine Koi, that the uber is about to exit the body of its mother. You cannot therefore define the uber as a permanent attachment to the mother. And now we're maintaining uber lav yerech imo. The uber is seen and defined as a separate independent entity. So what's the first side of Rabbi Yirmiyah to postulate that this shir, when he says chutz li uber? And the Gemara answers, kevan dimechuber ba. It's true that ultimately, through the birth process, the uber is going to separate itself from its mother. But now, in the present state, we can view it as an integral part of the mother. In fact, in Hilchas Kinyanim, unless he stipulates otherwise in the contract, the assumption is that when you sell a pregnant animal, the uber is part of that kinyan. And the Gemara therefore thinks in the first side of Rabbi Yirmiyah that should make it into a shear, because he's omitting from this kinyan a major part of the animal. Now, this Gemara of Rabbi Yirmiyah makes a lot of sense. Rav on the previous daf was of the opinion that kol davar nitar imo b'shechita is subject to shear, and the ubar itself needs the shechita of the mother. If there was no shechita of the mother, the ubar would be also b'achila. Therefore, the suffolk of Rav Yirmiyah makes sense according to Rav. And that is, if he was Mishayer the Ubar, is that a shear or is it not a shear? On the one hand, it's a davar anitar imo b'shechita, but only as a separate independent shechita. However, the Rashba adds something else. He says that we're talking about an Ubar who's a ben shmona chai, or a ben tisha mes, and heim nitarim imo b'shechita, as the Gemara says in Chulin. And again, there are other mefarshim here. The Ketzos, for example, vacillates back and forth. How could be Mishayah the Ubar? It's a davar shelo boli olam. And is there a chalos shir as far as the mechir is concerned? In any event, the three sfeikas of Rabbi Yirmiyah seem to be predicated one on top of the other. The first suffix was chutz l'shloshim yom, and then the Gemara says im tibtza lomar. If you're going to tell me that's not a shir, what about chutz l'malacha, where he's really leaving out of the mechira a major chunk, an integral part of the mechira, namely the malacha? And im tibtza lomar, if you'll say that's not a shir, what about chutz mi'ubra, where he's omitting a part of the goof of the animal from this mechira? The Gemara now says the following. Ika diamri. Some have a different presentation of the suffolk of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Kevan de lav yerech imo. According to that man, the omer that the ubar is not defined as a limb of the mother's body. Lo avishir. They're clearly, he's not leaving anything out of the behema itself, the mother, because he sold the entire guf ha-behema. O dilma, shall we say, kevan de tzarech lish taruye bahadi shechita. Since the uber needs the heter of its mother's shechita, in other words, if the mother would die without shechita, the uber remains asur v'achila. Therefore, the shechita of the mother, which is meaningful for the vlad, and the vlad is nita b'shechita, that sets up a halacha that the uber is viewed and defined as an integral part of the mother. And the Gemara says, therefore, if he leaves out the uber, kiman deshir begufa dami. Again, even though uber lav yerech ima, but paradoxically, the shechit itself makes the uber a part of the mother. Not in the sense that the that the ubar is to be defined as a chefta of the mother. In chefta, obviously, the ubar is a separate entity, but we view the mechira of the mother as a mechira which, unless the shear incorporates the vlad, because the vlad itself is part of the mother vis-a-vis the halach of shechita. And since we're dealing with the basic mechayev of shechita in terms of dalet vehev ganav, therefore the halacha is that the ubar, according to the second tzad, is part of the mother teku, which means let it stand, and we don't have an answer to this question. Boy, Rav Papa, we're now at the very bottom of Ayin Ches Amid Beis. Rav Papa has his own suffix. Gnava, kita, umachara mahu. What happens if the ganav was responsible for amputating the leg of the animal? It means that now that he's selling the animal, he's not selling the animal that he stole originally. Mi amrin, should we say, ma'ite ganav alo zavin? He didn't sell. He's not selling now that which he stole. There's part of what he stole is gone, and it's not part of the sale. O dilma, ma dezaben holo shir. In any event, if we view the mechira in and of itself as an independent action or transaction, then it is absolutely complete, because now the animal is being sold in its complete form. There's no shiur, teku, let it stand. And I would point out to you that there's a fundamental difference between the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyah and the suffix of Rav Papa, even though they both end up in teku. The suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyah really relates to the relationship between the ubar and its mother. Do we view the ubar as part of the mother, even though it's a separate entity? It's attached to the mother. It's nitar b'shchita simo. So the whole issue revolves around the ubar and its relationship to its mother. In the context of a papa, there's a whole different suffix. Here the suffix is, in conceptual terms, do we view the mechira as an extension of the gneva, and that's why the mechira engenders the penalties of a ganav, or no? Mechira is viewed as a criminal act in and of itself. And the nafkamina is going to be whether or not the mechira has to be a shadow or a reflected image of the gneva. Here, there's a part, mind the ganav halo zavin, that he's not selling. Part of the gneva he's not selling. The mechira does not actually cover the entire gamut of the gneva, because in the interim, in the middle, there was an amputation. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Mind the zavin lahalo shira. We have to see a mechira to generate dalvei in terms of the mechira itself as a separate, independent entity. It's not a shadow image and an extension of the gneva itself. Now we have a braisa that deals with tvicha mechira as far as dal vehei tor rabbanan ganav v'nosan li acher. Now, what happens if the ganav himself did not implement the shechita? He gave it to someone else to shecht, and that someone else becomes his shliach. Or the braisa has another case: ganav v'nosan li acher. Instead of a mechira, it was a matana. He gave it as a matana. So the first case that we're dealing with in this price, case number one, is an issue in tficha. Do we view this as a tficha mechayevet zaganov, even though the tficha was actually implemented by someone else? In the second case, the second scenario, is addressing the issue of mechira. Do we require an absolute mechira, or is a nesina, a matana, good enough? However, when you read the Braisa, you get the impression that even the case of Nosan is not a classical case of Matana. In other words, not the way I understood it before Rashi. Rashi comes lafuki my pshat, and he says, no, it's not a pshat that he gave it to someone as a Matana. Says Rashi, in such a case, for sure he would be chayv dal vehe right at that moment. And the Gemara wouldn't have to, the Braisa wouldn't have to add the next word, umachar. So Rashi learns that again, although matana, like mechira, engenders dal vehe, and that's it, here he didn't give it to someone as a matana, but rather he asked the second fellow to be his shliach for the mechira. So the actual Maisa Mechira, like the first case in the Braisa, in case of Tvicha, was implemented by someone other than the Ganov, but through a Shliach. And in such a case, the Braisa is going to establish that he's chayav. But first we have a number of other cases. Gonav vehigdish, gonav vehikif, gonav vehichlif, gonav vinosan vematona, gonav upara chovo, gonav upara bekefo, gonav vishalach, sivlonos bebeis chomov, mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. Here's a long list, and now we're on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, of cases in which the ganav incurs a chiyuv dalet vehei for the act of mechira. And the Brice is offering a chiddush here of an expanded definition of mechira. Mechira could include a case where he was magdish the animal, and this hegdish that we're dealing with here is what's called hegdish kodshe Berek HaBayis. If it's Kodesh Mizbeach, we already had the sugya back on Ayin Vav, that Meikara Torah Deruvim, Vahashta Torah Deruvim, that he's not Chayav Dalet Vehei for being Magdish, the animal, because the Shem Bailim still remains the Torah of Ruvain, the Ola of Ruvain, even after the Hekdesh, because the Kapara element is going to relate to the original Bailim, and there's no Mechira on that aspect of the animal and its status as Hekdesh. But rather, we're talking about Berek HaBayis. And Berek HaBayis is Mamon Hegdesh Bekinyono. And therefore, this act of being Magdish the animal is equivalent to, or even identical to, Mechira in the sense of Haknoa. And therefore, he's Chayev Dalvei. In the next case, Hichlif, Ganav Hichlif, instead of selling it, he does an exchange, a swapping. He says to someone, okay, you take this animal and give me a different animal or whatever you'll give me in return. That's a kind of chalipin. And that too constitutes a hakna and a mechira. In the following case, he has ganav and he gave it as matona. And as we said earlier, in the name of Rashi, apparently Rashi took it from this braisa that matona is no different than mechira. All we need is hakna, whether or not the makabel, whether or not the recipient is paying for it, in the case of a lokeach, in the case of mechira, or he receives it gratis, it makes no difference. Now, it's very interesting that in general, universally in halacha, we make a fundamental distinction between mechira and matana. And the classical example of that would be the case of Gonev Nefesh Umacharo, where you kidnap someone and then sell him. It's got to be a sale and not a matana. Or, for example, in the parasha of Bote Ore Choma, the halacha is that the mocher has rights for 12 months to redeem his property that he sold, and that again applies to mechira, but not to matana. Here, the premise is that, and the Gemara doesn't even question this, that Mali Mecher, Mali Matana, no distinction is made between Mecher and Matana. And the Rashba answers in the name of the Ravid that here the Torah is Mechayev you al Shenishtarish Bechet. Nishtarish Bechet means the Ganav is enjoying or extending his, from the perspective of Nishtarish Bechet, that the Ganav is extending his enjoyment and his attachment and use of the object, of the stolen object, the animal. There's no difference between Mechira and Matana. Whatever Hanoi gets here, he gets, even in the case of Matana. And now we have the case of, instead of being Machnit as a Mechira, the Ganav pays up a Chov that he has. That's also a Hakna. Ganav Upara Bekefo. Let's say, for example, the Ganav had bought a certain merchandise, piece of merchandise, Bahakov, which means on credit, and now he gives the animal as payment for that credit. Again, one might wonder how that's different from Prias Chovo. And perhaps one could say the following. Para B'Chovo means that somebody lent him money and he has to pay. Para B'Kefo means that he bought from his friend, let's say, a piece of meat or a bottle of wine, and he bought it on credit. Now he's giving the animal as payment for that credit, and that's called a mechira, even though he never really had any mos as a tmura to replace the object. In other words, in the case where he borrowed money, so there was money coming in, and now he's giving the animal sort of as a payment for that money, as an exchange for that money. That's very, very similar to Mechir. Mashenkin and Akofa, he never really had the money in his hand, but one could say that by giving this animal to pay for the bus or yayin that he bought, that itself is a kind of payment and similar to Mechira. And finally, we have another case here called Gana Vesholach Sivlonos Bebeis Chamav. And what this means is that when a person gets married, again in Halacha, the first stage of marriage is called Erisin, he sends Sivlonos, he sends gifts to his Kala. And these gifts could be food, it could be utensils, it could be anything. And the minig was that the chasanim, on the very day after the kiddushin, would send to his future in-laws, in honor of his wife, certain gifts, whether they were, again, fruits, wines, the kari shemen. This is all described in great detail by the Rashbam in Bava Basra and Kuf Mem Vav. And one could have possibly said that since he was mekadish this woman, and that's called a kinyan kesef, now when he pays the sivlonos, when he sends the sivlonos, that also is a kind of kinyan kesef. It's an extension of the original kinyan kesef of the kiddushin. What was the havmina that this sivlonos would not be considered a mechira? The Shita Mekubetza suggests that there's halacha kansa isha kansa baila. And even though we're talking about an erisin in the Havamina here, we might have thought that even in erisin, Masha Kansi, Isha Kansa Baila, and therefore whatever gifts he sends her, he really owns them. Maybe she has peros, but he has the goof, she has the peros, he has the keren, whatever it might be, but it's not a complete mechira, kamashpala, no. It's an absolute hakna, it's no different than any matana, and the halach of Masha Kansa, Isha Kansa Baila does not kick in until after Nisuin. Is in all these cases Misham Tashlume Arba V'chamisha Maikam Mashmalon. The Gemara wants to sort of take this list and classify it into two categories. Ashmin and Reisha. There's one Chiddush here in the earlier part of this Braisa, and that is Ganav V'nosan Liacher Tavach. Or mochar, in other words, when he steals it and he gives it to someone else to do the tvicha or to do the mechira, is even though ain shliach l'dvar avera is yesh shliach l'dvar avera, this is the exception to the rule. Afal gav, even though universally the bechal Torah kula ain shliach l'dvar avera, but hache here it's different in tvicha mechira yesh shliach l'dvar avera my taima tva utvacho umecharo. There's a hekesh here between tvicha and mechira in the pasuk of Dal Vehei and Shmos Chafalev. Ma mechira delo efsha delav al yidei acher. How do you achieve mechira? You need the participation of someone else on the receiving end. And nevertheless, given that integration of both the ganav's mechira and the lokeach's kinyan, we have a chiv dal ve'af tvicha al yidei acher mechayev, even though he, the ganav himself, did not implement the maisa shchita, not begufo, but someone else did it on his behalf. We can mitzarif that other person, just like in the case of the makabel lokeach in mechira, we mitzarif his person. He's chayev dal ve'. And perhaps the yesoda yesodos here of this shlichus is that shlichus in tvicha mechira is fundamentally different than classical shlichus. Because in classical shlichus, what you need is that the maisa shliach relates back to the mishaleach. And in a sense, you can view the shliach as the arm, the yod harichta of the mishaleach, and the maisa therefore accrues or is attributable, relates to the mishaleach, but not here. In a dvar avera, that you can't do, because the maisa avera remains the maisa avera of the shliach, and it's not subject to shlichus to relate back to the mishaleach. But in the case of tficha mechira, it's not the maisa mechira that's mechayev, it's not the maisa tficha that's mechayev, but rather it's the fact that the result and the impact of this mechira and tficha is such that the ganav benefits from the tficha and the mechira, that itself could be achieved through a shliach. In a sense, I would say that mechira and tficha and ganav is a gram mechira and tficha, not the maisa mechira, this is the chalos mechira and tficha that engenders the chiyuv dalad vehei. And again, I don't know if I can be mechadish chidushim here, but you know, you have all sorts of situations of grama, especially in shechita at the beginning of Masecht Chulin. You know, you set up a bidka de maya, and then by removing the barrier, the dam, then the water spreads and it carries the shechita knife and shechts the animal. Or you know, today we have automation and so forth. Shechita through automation. You know, what would be the status in ganav and dalad vehei? There's a compelling logic to assume that in this case the ganav would be chayav, because whether he does the actual shechita himself or he does a bidka d'maya kind of shechita, he benefits from it, and therefore it's no different than a grama kind of gram gneva. And the same thing with shliach, that it's a gram tvicha, gram mechira. So that's as far as the ratio is concerned. Now the Gemara sets up a second category in this brisa. And that's a brand new category. And what is that? Hacha, you're fine. Now, Ashmin and Seifa, Ganav vehigdish, Mali mechoro lehejot, Mali mechoro lishamayim. That it doesn't matter whether he sold it to a private owner or he sold it to the Beit HaKabayis, to the Gizbar, to Hegdesh, that is, in any event, a haknah. Interesting, the Gemara doesn't even bother going beyond Ganav Higdish, and I would have suggested perhaps a third category that unifies a number of cases enumerated by this Braisa, and that is the concept of Chalipin, meaning that Mechira requires some tmurah, some sort of exchange in which the Mocher receive something. And in all these cases, one could mentioned in this Braisa, in the Sefer, one could vacillate back and forth as to whether or not there's a similarity to Mechira, and did the Ganav Mocher gain anything in return if he gained his Chov, for example, in the case of Poreh Chovo, if he gained Sivlonos, in the case of Parabeh Kefo, he's paying on credit, now he pays up his credit by sending this animal, or if he makes an exchange between one animal and, say, another object or another animal. In all these cases, there's a quasi-Mechira, a definite similarity to Mechira. My only problem with that approach is the case of Matana. The case of Matana really doesn't have much of a similarity here, unless we introduce the Raivid that we mentioned earlier about Nishtarish Bechet, and the Hanah and the joy, the benefit that the Ganav gets from this kind of a Matana. But that, in a sense, would probably make all the other cases fit into a different category, not a quasi-Mechira, as we said before. We're not etching out a similarity to Mechira, but rather the fact that the Ganav gains a certain goal, which would normally cost him money, and by giving away the stolen object, he saves himself that money, and therefore you don't have to go into details here, perhaps about the similarity to Mechira and the exchange element. And now we're ready for the new Mishnah here, on Daf Ayin Tes. We know that a Ganav is not Chayev Dalet Vehei for Mechira, unless there's a Kinyan on the Chafetz. But let's really reverse and rewind back to the beginning. And that is the Gneva itself. You know, we understand very well that in the case of Mechira for Dalet Vehei, there is a Haknah and a transfer of ownership. But what about the original Gneva? The Ganav himself, in order to be chayav as a Ganav, and Kefil for sure, would have to make a Kinyan on the object that he's stealing. And the source for that is a parsha of Shoel. If you take a look in Shmos Chav Beis in Mishpatim, it says, V'chi yishal ish me'im re'ehu. It doesn't say me're'ehu, it says me'im re'ehu. And that language indicates that he's got to take the object out of the reshus of the Bailim in order to be chayav as a shoel. And just like in chiyuvei she'ela, it's got to be me'im re'ehu, meaning taking it out of the rishus of the owner, and then and only then is the shoel in that driver's seat of in that category, that status of a shoel who's chayav to pay. And so too, by analogy, in the case of Gneva, the Ganav picks up all his Chiyuve Gneva because it's Me'im Re'ehu. He takes it out of the Rishus of the owner, of the Nignav. Others would say that the source for this din, that the Ganav has to make a kinyan on the object, take it out of the Rishus of the Nignav, is Shmos Chav Beis Imi Motze Ti Motze Biyodo Agneva. And the Gemara says, back on Daf Samach Hey Amud Aleph, based on this pasuk, that if the Ganav makes a kinyan on the object, for example, he takes the object into his chotzer, his karpif, that's called himotze timotze biyado. But it's clear that the Ganav has to make a kinyan, in this case, a kinyan chotzer, in order to be chayev the tashlumen of kefel, and then subsequently dal vehe. In any event, the Gemara establishes kinyane gneva, and the ganav has to make a kinyan by taking the object out of the rishus of the nignav for the purpose of gneva. So the Mishnah says the following: Ganav birshus habaylim v'tavachu mochar chutz l'rishusam. What happens in the scenario in which the shar or seh was stolen and removed from the rishus of the bailim, and then it was shechted outside of the rishus of the bailim? So it means that at the moment that the ganav schlepped the animal, what we call meshicha, and removed it from the rishus of the bailim, he becomes a ganav, he makes a kinyan gneva, and at that point he will be chayev for tvicha u'mechira. That's case number one in the Mishnah. Now, we mentioned that the Ganav lifts up the object. That's called Hagbah versus Bailim. And that's in addition to Meshicha, where the object was dragged out of the Rishus Bailim. And in the case, for example, where the Ganav made a Meshicha, and he steals it from the Rishus Bailim, he's Chayev. What happens if he steals it in Rishus Harabim? Somebody's walking in Rishus Harabim and with the animal, and he takes the animal. And that too would be a Kinyan Meshicha L'chora. But the Ketzos quotes a Yerushalmi that if a person steals Rishus Harabim, he's potter. Again, he always has to return the animal itself, obviously. That's called Veheshev Sagzela Shargoz. That's Karen. But as far as Kefal is concerned, the Torah says Vegunam mi Beisa Ish, which Sarabim is not Beisa. The Rama at the beginning of Geneva, Perek Beis, says Gona Vahotzi Chutz L'Shus HaBailim. As long as it's Chutz L'Shus HaBailim, it would seem that according to the Rambam, that the Ganov, well, the Ganav Mershus HaBailim, he takes it out of Mershus HaBailim, but not necessarily Mershus HaRabim. So I don't know, Lamaisa, at the end of the day, whether stealing Mershus HaRabim is considered a Machayev in Gneva. And let's add that the Meiri writes that even if he returns the Behema to the Mershus HaBailim, nevertheless, he writes, Mikol makom, harei lo hiskaven b'achzarasa l'sham, or l'shem, maybe you read it, l'shem tshuvare tovach u'mochar shomes abehema. And perhaps this Meiri will shed a light on the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that not only is he chayav when he takes the shor haseh out of the rishus of the bailim and shechts it out of the rishus of the bailim, but even oshe gonav chutz mershusam v'tavachu mochar bershusam. Now the Mishnah is mechadish that even though he did not shecht the animal the way he did the gneva, in the case of the gneva he took the animal outside of the Rishus of the Bailin. In the case of the Tvicha Mechira, he did these actions in the Rishus of the Bailin. Nevertheless, he's Chayav. And perhaps that's what the Meiri means to say, that you might think that since the Ganav went back into the Rishus of the Bailin with the animal, that's called a kavana sachzora, meaning he wants to do tshuva and return the animal, but then he went ahead and he shechted the animal, he sold it, so that's a gili milsa, which we could call hochiach sofa tchiloso, that he didn't have any intention of returning the object, the animal, but rather he's continuing with his dastardly act of gneva, and haraya proof is in the pudding. He demonstrates this by shechting the animal, by selling the animal. And again, once the Gneva was Chutzur Shus Bailim, he took it out of the Shus of Bailim, that's enough to engender not just Kefa, but if and when he shechts it even in the Shus of the Bailim, he's Chayiv Dalet Vehei. Then the Mishnah has a third case, Oshe Ganav V'Tovach U'Mochar Chutz Mirshusam. The Gneva and the Tvicha Mechira were all three Chutzur Shusam. And in that case, obviously, he's chayav, mishalim tashlumei dalet vehei. It means the Mishnah is going with, you know, a zu v'ein tzarech lomar zu kind of thing, at least in the last case that he's chayav dalet vehei, where he does everything outside of the reshus of the bailim. So at this point, we'll leave this as an open question, hopefully coming back to it soon, why the Mishnah had to add this third case, Gana v'tovach u'mocha chutz mishusam. Now the Mishnah continues, Aval ganav v'tovach u'mocha b'shusam. Now the Mishnah gives the other polar extreme case where the Gneva and the Tvicha l'mechira all took place in the Mishusam of the Bailim. And you might think that Tvicha itself is a kind of a kinyan because it's a shinui maisa, but the answer is he didn't do a maisa kinyan in the behema to bring it into his own reshus before the tvicha, and therefore the tvicha is not considered a kinyan of shinui maisa. But in any event, the Mishnah establishes that in this case, where all three, the gneva, the tvicha, the mechira, everything took place in the reshus of the Baal patur, and what does it mean he's patur? So if the case is that he never took the animal out of the reshus of the bailim, then l'chor in this case it should be patur from everything, from kefel, from dalet vehei, the whole gamut, because he never became a ganav. As long as the behemah remains in the reshus of the bailim, and he, the ganav, does make a kinyan to remove it from the reshus of the bailim, he's not a ganav le'inyan, kefel le'inyan, dalet vehei. Again, as far as the carrot is concerned, veishvus like zela, Asher Gozal, there's no question about that. And it's very interesting that the Mishnah addresses a possibility of selling the animal to someone else, again, the ganav selling the animal to someone else in the reshus of the mocher. I'm sorry, in the reshus of the nignav. How is that possible? Let's say, for example, the lokeach, how does he make his kinyan? How does this mechira come about? L'chora, he has to take the shor out of the reshus of the bailim, and in that case, I don't understand. The ganav should be chayav with the meshich of the lokeach, because, again, if we said over and over again, if someone is operating on your behalf, Mr. Ganav, then you are chayav for that. And we're going to see later on in our Mishnah that if a person steals something and he uses that animal as pigeon aben for his bechor, he's chayev with the Meshichas HaKohen. So therefore we're tempted to assume that Lokeach makes one of those kinyonim which doesn't require him to make a Meshicha and remove the animal from the Shus of the Nignav, because had he done so, then the Ganav would be chayev kefel and dalet vehei. Now, what happens if the ganav makes a hagbah and he lifts up the animal in the reshus of the bailim? L'chora, that would be a valid kinyan. And the Tosefta says, "Ganav b'reshus ha'bailim v'tovachu mocher im higbiyah ha'reza chayav." So therefore, our case of a ganav who sells the animal, let's say, for example, through a kinyan sudar, and it was never agbar on the animal. And therefore, the ganav is not chayev. Again, he's always chayev keren, but not kefel and dalet vehe. The Mishnah continues, hoya moshcho. If the ganav was schlepping the animal, dragging the animal, v'yotze, and he's taking it out of the rishus of the bayim, umes, and the shar dies before the ganav is able to take the shar over the boundaries of the rishus bayim, is potter. Then the ganav is potter. Now, here there's a very interesting discussion. What does it mean, potter? What about keren? We've been saying over and over again, v'yishuv sakzela asher gazal. But here, in this particular case, the animal died. So is there a chiv on the part of the ganav who never actually made a kinyan gneva to pay for the animal if the animal died? And Rashi here, Divra Maschil Hoya says, Oye ganav moshcho v'yotze potu biklum. Rashi implies strongly that he's not even chayv to pay keren. However, if you look in Dikduke Sofrim, they suggested alternate girsan, Rashi potami kefel, not mi klum, but mi kefel. If you look, for example, in Rashi on the Rif, you'll see potami kefel. If you look in the Raman Perik Beis Milchus Gneva, you will see that if that girs is correct, the potami kefel, then why is the God of Chayv Keren, if he never made a kinyan on it, he never took the animal out of the base bailim, why should he be chayv keren? And the achronim seem to assume that as far as a din gneva, he wouldn't be chayv because he never made a kinyan, but there's a din of a shoel. We know that shol shalom idas has the status of a gazlan, and that applies even without meshicha. Again, that's a tosus here, di ramaskel tiknu. But be that as it may, if a shol is chayv for onsim, even without meshicha, that means it's chayv when the animal dies, so too here, the ganav, insofar as he takes the animal for purposes of she'ela, he doesn't want to make a kinyan on it, or he didn't successfully implement a kinyan on it, he's a shoel. But he's a shol shel midas, and therefore he's chayv and onsim. And even if the animal dies, through obviously no fault of his own, malchamovis, malihoch, malihosam, he still has to pay for the keren, for the animal itself. So this is all dependent upon different girsos in Rashi. Now, the Mishnah goes on to tell us that if he stole the animal, the shor, and he made a kinyan on it, through what? Higbio, he made the hagbah, and that applies even in the rishus of the bailim. Oh, hotzio mishus bailim, or he dragged it out of the rishus bailim, in those cases, v'mes, umes, if the animal dies, chayev, the ganav has to pay kefel. Why? Because he made a kinyan. He became a ganav. And now he has to pay kefel. The Rashba wants to claim that the ganav cannot be koneh b'shus b'ilim b'gagbah. It's not a kinyan. But rather, he's chayev b'tashlumen for a different reason. Because since his das was to be motzi the gneva, even if he didn't get a chance yet to be motzi the gneva, he's already considered a ganav as far as chiyuve gneva is concerned. We should mention here the machlokes between Rav Ach and Ravina and Ksubas Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. When the ganav takes it out of the rishus of the nignav, where does he bring the object? Where does he bring the animal? Rav Acha says that he brings it out to what's called sidei rishus haramim, which is otherwise known as a simta. But if, says Rav Acha, he took the animal out into rishus haramim, then he has not yet made a kinyan. Ravina, on the other hand, holds that even if the animal was dragged by the ganav into rishus haramim, he makes a kinyan. That's a Gemara in Ksubis. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Pei Dalid. Abai Verova are of the opinion that Meshicha is Kona in a Simta, but not in Rishus HaRabim. So this is all a long, complicated discussion about what exactly is considered Meshicha, what is the status of Meshicha of Rishus HaRabim. And to explain Ravina in Masechta Ksubis, that even if the Ganav takes into Rishus HaRabim, he's Kona, although in Hilchas Kinyonim we paskin like Abai for Rav that Meshichas Konan is simta, but not Rishas Rambam. Rav Chanan has a famous chilik here between Mekach u'Memkar in general and Gneva as a din misuyam in particular. In Gneva, in general, in Kinyonim, you have to the Kone, the Lokeach, has to take it into his Rishus. Rishus Rambam is not his Rishus. A simta can be used as if it was his Rishus on a temporary basis. But in Gneva, all you have to do is take it out of the Rishus of the Bailim, and taking it in, according to Ravina, to a Rishus Aram is enough of Hotzah Mirshus Bailim, as long as it went into a different Rishus, even though that different Rishus would not be suitable for a Kinyan Mekach on behalf of a Lokeach. But as far as Gneva is concerned, we need Hotzah Mirshus Bailim, and the Shear of Hotzah Mirshus Bailim is clinched when he takes it into Rishus Arabin. There's a Dvar Vrom here, which is a little bit off the topic. How does Hagbah of the God of Work in the Rishus Abayim, Hagbah of Rishus Arabim, only works based on a principle called Das Acheres Makdin? Here in Ganav, clearly there's no Das Acheres Makdin. The Mishnah continues and completes itself by saying this sono. If the Ganav gives the Sharu Seh to a Kohen Lebchoras Beno as a pigeon Aben, that too will be a kinyan and a mechira to engender dalet vehei, or a balchov, or to pay up a balchov. Oh, l'shomer chinom, l'shoel, and I'll say socher l'socher. In cases where the ganav gives the animal that he stole to a shomer chinom or any of the other shomrim, vehoya moshcho umes. So in any of these cases, for example, Pidgin Abeni gave the animal over to the Kohen, and the Kohen is schlepping it out, the Shomer Chinom that he gave it to, the Shol, etc., etc., Hayamoshcho Umes, the Shor died as the Shomer, or as the Kohen was doing the Meshicha Bershus HaBailam, before the actual Kinyan was clinched. Part of the Ganav doesn't have to pay Tashlumen. Now it's even though the Otzah Meshus Bailam can be achieved by the Kohen or the Shomer, it doesn't have to be implemented with the physical body of the ganav, but nevertheless, at some point, the Kohen who receives the pigeon aben, or the shomer who receives this animal, is operating to clinch the kinyan on behalf of the ganav. But here, the animal died before it was dragged over the boundary line outside the Rishus Bailim. It died in the Rishus Bailim itself. The Kinyan Gneva was not clinched, and therefore the Mishnah says Potter, the Ganav doesn't have to pay Tashlumen. But if the Kohen or the Balchov or the Shomer Higbio, or Hotzio Rishus Bailim, if they, acting on behalf of the Ganav to clinch his Mechira, lifted up the animal, or drag the animal out of the Rishus HaBailim v'mes, and then the animal died, Chayiv, the Ganav has to pay for Chiyuvei Gneva, in this case, Keren v'Kefel, and possibly even Dalet v'Hei. So the way the Rashba learns this sugya, that the Ganav would be Chayiv Dalet v'Hei through the Hagbah of the Balchov, because that itself is a Kinyan. And that should also apply in the case of the Kohen. However, the Rush is of the opinion that the Mishnah is establishing a Chiv Kefel, but as far as Dal Vehe is concerned, he's Potter until he takes it out of the Rishus HaBailim, because the Kinyan comes together with the Chiv Dal Vehe. And Chiv Zeh, writes the Rush, Eino Elik Sheba Achrei Shekfar Nasa Ganav. You can only have a separate Chiyuv Dal Vehei from Mechira if that Kinyan and that Chiyuv Dal Vehei emerges subsequent to the Gneva. Here, the Gneva and the Dal Vehei all take place at the same moment. And that, according to the Rush, cannot generate a Chiyuv Dal Vehei. It means that there's got to be an extra action here on the Ganav's part or his Shliach's part, in order to be Mechayiv Dalet Vehei. The Chiyuv Mechira cannot be simultaneous, or shall we say, squeezed into one action with the Chiyuv Gneva. but has to be separated in a bazecher zeh situation. Not so according to the Rashba. The chiyuv kefel and the chiyuv dalet vehe from mechira can take place simultaneously the moment the kohen or the balchov or the shomer takes the object out of the animal, out of the rishus, out of the rishus of the baal. The Gemara now presents the suffolk of a memar. But before that, I do want to mention a machlokas rishonim. We had mentioned earlier that from the equation in the Torah between tavach u'machar, we derive that just like mechira is al yedei acher, so too tvicha is al yedei acher, and this sets up tvicha in ganav as the exception to the universal rule of ein shliach u'dvar avera. However, what about the ikar chiv gneva and the chiv kefel? In our Mishnah, in the last part of the Mishnah, the various shluchim, if you will, whether it's the Kohen, whether it's the Balchov, whether it's the Shomer, they are working on behalf of the Ganov to effectuate the Gnev itself, the Chiyuv Kefel. We don't have a Drasha, we don't have a Yalfusa to establish that Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera as far as Kefel is concerned, as far as the Iker Chiyuv Ganov is concerned. The Ganov himself here in this Mishnah never took it out of the Rishus Bailin. It was the Shomer who took it out of the Rishus Bailin. It was the Kohen who took it out of the Rishus Bailin. It was the Balchov who took it out of the Rishus Bailin. And here, Tosus quotes a Sugim Bav Metzia Daf Yudamid Beis, and at least according to one opinion, if the Shliach is unaware of the fact that he's doing an Avera, the Meshalech would be Chayev. And here, that's a perfect example where the Kohen has no idea that it's a stolen object. V'chein, and the same in the case of the Balchov or the Shomer. And in the Gemara, in the Sugya of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira Bav Metzia Yudam Et Beis, the Gemara records a Machlokas Amoroim. Why do we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? According to one opinion, it's because the Meshalech has a right to say that let the Shliach make his own decision. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. The Shliach, I didn't anticipate the Shliach would listen to me. But the Gemara offers another explanation, and that is that the Shliach had a choice. He could have done it or not done it. And in our case, where he's unaware of the fact that he is participating in a Gneva, clearly, he had no choice here in the matter. Again, I'm not talking about the fact that somebody put a gun to his head and he was compelled to take it out of Rishus Bailin, but the fact that he didn't realize and he was in no way aware of the fact that this is Geneva, this is an Avera, when he took it out of Rishus Bailin, that in effect is like a case where he had no choice. He doesn't want to violate the Avera. Had he known it was a stolen animal, he never would have contributed to this, and therefore yesh liach l'dvar avera. Now, the rishonim here ask the question: as far as this din, mi nosan es hashom mi chayov, let's talk about the fact that if a man gives a kohen a shor for pidgin aben, the Torah says in the parasha pidgin aben in Bamidbar Yudches, upiduyav mi ben chodesh tifte be'erkecha kesef chameshes shkolim b'shekel akodesh. And the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that from this pasuk we derive the conclusion that anything can be used to be pode the bechor. The only exceptions are Avodim, Shtoros, and Karkos. We've been assuming in our understanding of the Mishnah, and indeed this is one pshat in Rashi in the Mishnah, that the Ganav himself is using this animal to fulfill his chiyuv to the Kohen of Pidgin Aben, or giving it to the Balchov to be Poreas Chov, or giving it to the Shomer to be Mekabel Achrayus. And that's how the Gneva is clinched, and the Chiyuve Ganov by the Hotzomish's Bailim of the Kohen, the Balchov, or the Shomer. However, Rashi offers another pshat, his first pshat, which he subsequently rejects. This is Rashi Dibramaskal Potur. And Rashi says that we're talking not about a Ganov in this Mishnah, but simply a person who's chayv in Pidgin HaBen. He gives a shor for Pidgin HaBen. A person is chayv to pay a balchov. He gives his own shor to pay the balchov, or he wants to give his shor to a shomer. And until they, the Kohen, the balchov, or the shomer, implement a kinyan, then it's the nosein who still remains chayv, whether he's chayv in Pidgin HaBen, he's chayv in Priyas Chov, he's chayv in the achrayas of the animal. But when the Kohen or the Balchov or the Shomer makes a Hagbah Meshicha, at that point the Nosein becomes exempt from any sort of Chiyuvim. The Kohen made his Kinyan, the Ben is Padui, and the father is now out of the picture. He has no longer Chiyuvim. In the case of the Balchov made the Kinyan, the Chov is Parua, the Shomer is Chayv Yechrayus. That's Rashi in his first pshat. Rashi rejects this because since the animal died in our Mishnah, it's not shaykh to speak about chiyuv and ptur with regard to the shomer. Again, the only shomer that's chayev, in fact, for misas hashor would be a shoel, but with the exception of a shoel, in all other cases of shomerim, if the animal drops dead of old age, then the shomer is not chayev. And it doesn't mean that since the Shomer took the animal into his possession, into his domain, he took it out of the Rishus of the Bailam, therefore he, the Shomer, is Chayev. How can you talk about the Shomer being Chayev if the animal died? And Rashi therefore rejects this Pshat and offers the Pshat in his second Lishna, which we understood on our own, and that's how we presented this Mishnah, that it is the case of the Ganav who's Chayev here. Boy Amemar. The Gemara quotes Amemar as formulating the following suffix. He vacillated on the following question. Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomrim. Now, if we assume that Dvar Torah Mos Konas, meaning if we assume that there is a Kinyan Meshicha Mena Torah, which is the opinion of Reish Lakish in Bav Metzia Mem Zayin Amid Beis in Perek Hazav, then it makes sense that the Kinyan Meshicha would operate on a Doraisa level even with regard to a Shomer. And yet the Gemara used the language Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomer as Takonis Chachamim. This would make a heck of a lot more sense according to Rabbi Yochanan in Bav Metzia. Because Rabbi Yochanan in Bav Metzia is of the opinion that even with regard to Metaltalin, you could be Kona Metaltalin through Mos on a Doraisa level. And the Chachamim instituted through their Takana a Kinyan Meshicha. The Chachamim established that the Lokeach who purchases Metaltalin movable objects, he cannot clinch his Kinyan unless he implements a Meshicha. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzes, he says that our sugya and Amemar Sofek is according to Rabbi Yochanan that the entire institution of Kinyan Meshicha is the Takanas Chachamim. Did they extend their Takana to the case of a Shomer? And the Rashba explains that what the Sofek of Amemar is all about is at what point is the Shomer Chayav in Shmira and take responsibility for the object? If we assume that there was never a takon of Meshicha, the Shomer becomes chayev the moment he accepts upon himself Shmira, that's Kabbalas Achrayus. If, on the other hand, we assume the other tzad in Amemar Sofik, namely that the Chachamim instituted a takonas Meshicha, a takona of Kinyan with regard to Shomer, it's not enough for the Shomer to be chayev, it's not enough that the Shomer was Mekabal on himself Achrayus, but rather, he's got to make a Kinyan as well. That's all in the Rashba. However, Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Tiknu, on the bottom of page Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, assumes that the whole suffix of a memer applies only to shoel and socher. At what point does the shoel become obligated in such a way that he can no longer back out of the deal? There's no chazara from his chiv shmira. Does that apply from the moment of meshicha? And the other option here is, although it is clinched by the haschalas hamalach, it's only when the shoel and the socher begin to use the object, at that point, when they benefit from the object, then they become chayev. Or even before they actually use or begin the malach and enjoy the benefit of the object, they're already chayev in an irreversible way in chiyuv shmir from the moment of meshicha. And the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Amar Rav Yemar. So again, we had Amemar, now we have Rav Yemar, Toshma. Let's go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nisono Libchoros Bino. If the Ganov takes the stolen ox and he gives it as pidyon haben to the Kohen, O Lebalchov, or as payment is Balchov O Leshomer, or he gives it to a Shomer, whether it's a Shomer Chinom, a Shoel, a Nosei Sochar, or a Socher, the whole gamut here, is Hoya Moshcho Viyotze Umespish Sabailim Potur. If the Kohen, the Balchov, the Shomer was doing a Meshicha, then if the animal dies before the animal was removed from the Rishus of the Bailim, so the animal dropped dead in the Rishus of the Bailim, Potter. Says Rav Yemar, my love, if we read this Mishnah carefully, Shomer, we're talking about a Shomer, and we're saying that the Shomer himself is Potter, and the Ganov, Lechora, is Chayav. Shmamina, Tiknu, Meshicha, Bishomrim. In other words, if the Shomer was Chayav Bachrayis when he was Mekabel of Shmira through his Kabbalah Shmira, even before he makes a Kinyan Meshicha, is then the Ganov would be Chayav even though the Shomer did not make a Meshicha. Now, as we analyze the Raya of Rav Yemar, we have to mention again Rashi's two Perushim in what went on in the Sefer of our Mishnah. If you take Rashi in his first perush, which again he rejects, but nevertheless, it works very simply. The question here in our Mishnah is, at what point does a Shomer become Chayv Bachrayus? We're talking about the Bailim themselves giving the Shar over to the Shomer. And the Mishnah establishes that unless the Shomer does a Meshicha in which he takes the animal out of the Rishus of the Bailim, he's not Chayv. Shmamina, clearly then, Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomrim. It's not enough that the Shomer already accepted upon himself Achrayus. His Chiyuvei Shmira and his Achrayus only is generated once and only when the Meshicha was done. But if you go to Rashi's second Pirush, and we're talking about a case where the Ganov gave the Shor over to the Shomer, then it becomes a little more complicated, and you have to assume that Rav Yemar's premise here is that at what point does the Ganov become Chayev for Tashlume and Chiyuve Gneva, at the point in which the Shomer takes over responsibility for the animal. That itself is a kind of Hotzah Mirshus Bailim on the part of the Ganov, and the Mishnah says that that's only clinched when the Shomer's Meshicha was complete and the animal was taken out of the Mirshus Bailim. Once again, Rav Yemar argues, if one were to argue that the Shomer, through his Kabbalah Achrayis even before Meshicha, when he personally was Mekabel Achrayis for Shmira, that itself clinches the Achrayis of the Shomer, then the Ganav should be Chayev even before the animal was removed from the base Bailim, because the Ganav completes his, shall we call it, Shini Rishus, or Mechira, or Hakna, when the Shomer becomes Chayev Bachrayis. And the fact that the Mishnah says no, the Ganav is not Chayev until the Shomer A is Makabel, but B makes a Meshicha in which he's Motzi Mishur's Bailim, it means that the Achrayis of the Shomer does not is not precipitated by his verbal Kabbalah Sachrayas, his declaration, but rather through his Mashicha. Amalei, Amemer says to Rav Yemar, lo, there's no proof from our Mishnah. You can interpret our Mishnah that the Ganav is Potur. Why? Because the owner of the Behema gave Rishus to the Kohen, or to the Balchov, or to the Shomer to take the animal. And again, that sounds awfully similar to Rashi's first pshat, that there's a direct relationship here between the Baal HaBehema and the Kohen Balchov or Shomer. But at that point, the Ganav steps into the picture, and he steals the Behema, and the Ganav himself is being Moshech, and he's taking the animal out. If the animal dies in the Rishus Bailim, the Ganav is Potter. Why? Because he didn't do a Kinyan Gneva. Again, the only problem, as we'll soon see, is that this seems to be a repetition of what we already know in our Mishnah. But in any event, there's no proof, says Amema, from our Mishnah, as to whether it's Takonis Mashiach and Shomer or not. We're not talking about the Mashiach of the Shomer, we're talking about the Mashiach of the Ganav. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, how, Rav Yemar says to Amemar, how can you possibly say that it's the Ganav who's doing the Mashiach? Tani Le Reisha, the Mishnah is already established in the Reisha, that in order for the Ganav to be Chayav, he has to take it out of the Rishus Bailim. And if he didn't make a Kinyan in the Gnevi's Potter from Tashlumin, why would the Mishnah feel compelled to repeat itself a second time around and tell us, well, the Ganav has to make the Kinyan? At this point, Amemar responds to Rav Yemar, and he says that the Tana is definitely interested in giving us this repetition, because it's not a repetition at all, it's two different dinim. Tana, as far as the ratio is concerned, Ganav Shagonav Mibes Bailim. There is Chayev Kefel when he takes it out of the base Bailim, and that means he clinched the full Kinyan. But Tana, but in the Sefer, he's telling us Ganav Shagonav Mibes Shomer. He's Chayev Kefel because he stole it from the house of the Shomer. The house of the Shomer is considered the house of the Bailim, and therefore it's Faguna Mibes Ha'ish, because the Shomer is always an extension of the Yad of the Bailim. Amalei Rav Ashi says, Tamemer lo tidcheye. Your words or your interpretation is not enough to be doche my words. Mali ganav shagonav beis shomer, mali ganav shagonav beis bailim. What's the difference as far as the chiv kefil is concerned of a ganav, whether he stole it from the beis bailim or the beis shomer? In both cases, he's really in effect stealing it from the beis bailim, because the beis shomer is an extension of the beis bailim. And therefore, why would the Mishnah have to feel compelled to repeat itself? El alav, but rather, we're talking about a case in the Sefer, the Mishnah, of a shomer. He took the animal as a shliach of the ganav to take it out. The shomer himself is part of the ganav is chayv. Why? Because shmami not tiknu mishicha b'shomerim, that the ganav becomes chayv in tashlume gneva as a result of the Mashiach of the Shomer, and not before the Mashiach of the Shomer. In other words, when the Shomer is makabal on himself, achraya shmira, that's not enough to generate chiyuvim on the Shomer. And as long as the chiyuvim on the Shomer have not emerged and they're not validated, the ganav is not going to be chayav. Yishma mina. Therefore, we could derive from our Mishnah that they made a takana of Meshicha B'Shomerim. That's why the Mishnah says the Ganav is not Chayiv until after the Meshicha is complete. The Shomer is not Chayiv Achrayis by virtue of his Kabbalas Achrayis, but rather by virtue of his Meshicha. And if the Ganav finishes what he has to do to be Chayiv, once the Shomer steps into the picture and he's Mekabal Achrayis, that's only after Meshicha Itmar Nami. And so we learned Omer Abelazar, Kederch Shetiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchos. They established, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Shita Bab Metzia, they made a takana that the lokeach who purchases something is only konit when he gets the chayfetz into his hands, that's called Meshicha. Kach tiknu Meshicha b'shomrim, and they extended and included shomrim in this takon of Meshicha. The shomrim is not chayef when he's makabal achrayis until after the Meshicha. Tanya nami hachi, we even have this in a brisa. Kiderch she tiknu Meshicha b'lekuchos, kach tiknu Meshicha b'shomrim. We'll stop here.